Potters! Welcome to episode 191 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy summer, everybody! The longest day of the year!
It's the solstice! Woohoo! It's still really light outside.
And hot. Indeed. If ever you needed extra daylight to work on your cosplay, today is that day in the Northern Hemisphere.
Lucky you.
Hey, there are some places around the world where the sun doesn't set.
This is very true. By the way, I'm Valerie. That over there is Amber.
Hi.
Welcome to Cospod.
Indeed. If this is your first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have been doing this for 7 years. You have plenty of archival material that you can catch up on.
Some so of much it, of it.
Better than others.
Right. Start at episode 50 and work your way forward. Don't go backwards.
Indeed. For those of you who have been with us for a while, you may have noticed that we fixed the feed. And
yay.
The feed starts at episode 50. No, you are not crazy. Well, actually, no, I cannot verify that. You're probably not crazy. But we opted to start with episode 50 in the feed, mostly so that your feed isn't quite as cluttered up with 7 years worth of episodes, and because it's better material.
If you really, really, really want to go dig through the archives, we do have everything on our website as well as on YouTube. So it's there. It's accessible. But mostly we just didn't want to clutter up your feed because that thing gets big and hefty after a while.
And we have to edit it.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
So the episodes are still available in complete full format if you really want to go and torture yourself with the first 20 or so episodes of the show. But in terms of the feed, we have everything from episode 50 forward. All right, so let us start with our cosplay updates.
And I know ceremoniously, usually I start it, but I have no cosplay updates. My cosplay updates are I have been working on commissions that I can't show. That's all I've got, quite literally. So instead, you'll get to listen to me ramble about ArlingCon in a couple of minutes. So hopefully Amber has much more than I do.
Things.
Yay! Are they piles of fabric?
Well, this isn't quite a pile of fabric.
It's still fabric.
It's one piece of fabric. This is a hint as to the next costume I'm working on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because this is a corset.
Yeah, it is.
And actually, I had to remove the back two panels of the corset because it was too big.
Oh, good. Yay.
So I have happily labeled all of the pieces. This is the corset for the next piece I am working on remaking. That's hint number two. And I plan to do a much better job of it this time. It's another outfit I can wear in summer and warmer weather because it's just so freaking hot outside. And I felt successful enough with Deedlit that now I can move on to this other cosplay that I've been itching to remake for a long time. And how do the kids say it? Bling it up?
There you go.
I want to make a more fancy version of it.
Just throw glitter on it.
Actually, there will not be glitter because it is actually inappropriate for this costume, but there will be a lot of detailing. Lots and lots and lots of little details. I hope. But I'm actually going to make the corset out of foam, not fabric. Yes, that's right. We're going to see how that goes. I've really been itching to remake that out of foam for a long time. And to do it properly. Speaking of foam, we'll have something else for you guys later on in the podcast. I finished cutting out all of the lovely pieces for Charm School. I only found out there are 10,000 pieces to this thing. There are literally pattern pieces for every single thing that you have to put on this outfit.
Okay. Let's stop right
the
there.
Tabs.
Have you seen the front of that you're holding it up right now? Have you seen the front of that? Do you see how many pieces are involved? There's going to be thousands of pieces.
I didn't realize that each one had its own pattern piece. Things like tabs on sleeves. I don't need a pattern piece for that. I can just cut a rectangle out of fabric. But no, there are pattern pieces for everything.
But not everybody knows to do that.
But yes, I finished cutting all the pattern pieces out, so now I can actually start making mock-ups of this, because I really, really, really want to. So I did that. What else? I got new patterns.
Oh, nice!
This is the J-Heart Design latest one. I believe this is called Midnight Herbalist. Yes, that's right. They also have this in Joann stores, and you no longer have to pay shipping. And it's $1.99 until Saturday. Because the calls is on sale this week. So yes, I got this one mostly because I wanted to have a hooded bolero. Just for costumey type things. I always try and get one pattern of like each type of clothing, just so I can have it and modify it however I want for all the different kinds of costumes I make. I don't really have a pattern for a bolero, especially for a hooded one. So I wanted that. And I've always liked that particular design on that dress. He did a really good job. And I got my kimono, which this actually has the full length kimono. And then it has a short, I guess you'd call it thigh length version on the back, which you can see there. You can see it kind of only goes up to her thigh. It's also sleeveless. It has detachable sleeves on the kimono for that one. So I was like, okay, that's kind of adaptable for different kinds of weather. I can make a cooler weather version and I can make a warmer weather version. So that's always fun. Plus it has a nicer tie on the obi in front. It has a nice bow in the front instead of having the giant bow in the back. Because I've always had problems having the bow in back and then you sit back in a chair and then it just crushes the bow. And then the bow just kind of loses its shape. So got that one too. Also $1.99. And the last thing is that I know quite a few of you guys were giving me suggestions on how to use up all of my excess fabric pieces, the ones that aren't quite long enough to make garments. And I had forgotten that I actually have these patterns. Sewing for Dummies aprons. Not only that, I have little accessory bags, like little roll-up bags I can use to take all of my different cosplay tools around with me. There's always shopping bags for when you go to Joann's and get more than what's on your shopping list. And last, this one is actually my favorite one, and this is the one that I think cosplayers may get the most use out of, especially those who sew a lot. This is one of their older Project One that runway patterns. They have half aprons. And not only that, but they have sewing machine covers, which are always good whenever you need to protect it from overzealous pets who really want to help. And then, of course, there's also here, it's a little hard to see from the picture, but that's actually on the back of a chair. That's actually a lovely insert that you just hang off the back of your chair, and it can also hold tools and all sorts of things that I'm sure cats would love to play with. So after digging in my pattern archives, I found all of these things. It's like, oh, hey, I can use all of my excess fabric pieces to make these things because it doesn't take very much fabric, thankfully. It's really hard to make anything when your fabric pieces are less than 2 feet long because about 2 feet is what it takes to make a shirt. So once you have less than that, it's like, okay, I can either make a quilt or I can donate it. That's about it. Or I can use it to make mock-ups if you stitch a whole bunch of pieces together Frankenstein style. That's really about all you can use it for. So I hope to be using some of those patterns now that I have pieced together Frankenstein style quite a few of my remnants, and we'll see how that goes, but I'm actually really kind of excited to work on this corset because this is going to be a mix of materials. I want to start doing a little bit more mixed media when I do my pieces, so we'll see how that goes. So stay tuned.
If anything, you have just further confirmed that you are a pattern hoarder.
I am.
Proudly so, clearly.
I have gotten a lot of use out of my patterns. I have gotten a lot of freaking use out of those patterns.
As long as you use them, I'm not going to judge. Judgment-free zone.
Yep. I think the only ones I haven't used are the one I have for yoga pants and the one I have for a winter coat. Every other pattern in my box, which is a very large paper ream box, and actually I have some that sit on top of it because I filled the box and don't have any more space. I have used all of those too. Many, many patterns.
We need an intervention.
You only need an intervention if I had an actual, like, what was it? Storage rack or a storage bin?
A whole storage unit?
Yeah. If I had a whole storage unit full of patterns, then you might need to perform an intervention.
Yeah, that might be some serious hoarding concerns.
I still have more fabric than I do patterns, though. if the day comes when I kind of flip those around, I think that I may end up just calling for an intervention myself.
It'll be like, we got to put a stop to this. Like, yes. Let's hold up here.
Yes. And I was surprised to find that when I went in Joann's to find those, that they actually have a lot of green pepper green pepper patterns. Say that 5 times fast.
Right.
And the reason that is interesting, because I know most of you guys don't even know what the heck those are, is that whenever people would try and make sailor fukus, that was the pattern that most people would use prior to us having, you know, the Yaya Han version and the McCall version. Everybody else would go to the green pepper skating outfit. Well, that is in Joann's stores. They're starting to reprint a lot of the old patterns that are out of print. So if you're ever looking for that sort of thing, they actually do carry those patterns now. Oldies but goodies.
Hey, if they work, they work.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they've got all sorts of different patterns in there. They've even got patterns for making your own leather booties. It's pretty cool, man.
What a good time to be alive for crafting.
Well, that's all I've got, so we can go ahead and move into our next topic.
Yes, and we're going to be talking a little bit about ArlingCon. I went last Saturday just for a couple of hours to record some panels, and it was a little bit different from last year. First and foremost, I want to apologize because I have no footage to show and no photos to highlight because our memory card got corrupted. And I didn't find out about this until after I got home and tried to import everything and was like, oh, can't read memory card. Inserted it back at the camera. Can't read memory card. Well, fudge. So tried everything I could to recover the data. I've sent the card off to a friend of mine. He tried everything. So it's pretty much considered dead at this point. So I want to apologize to all of those panelists who I recorded their panels. I have nothing to show for it. I'm really, really sorry. But hey, you have our business card. So if you want to chat about your content anytime, hit us up because we would totally love to chat with you. But compared to last year, I think it was definitely a bit busier. And already last year, like, it felt kind of crowded at certain points. But this year, it definitely felt like it was a little bit busier. And they utilized more of the space on the campus and in the area. Big thing that they did was they moved people out of that main hallway, that main thoroughfare, so that way more foot traffic can go through. They stationed a couple of different photo booths over to the side of the auditorium where they have the cosplay contest. So that was kind of nice. It put them in a nicer area. It was easier to reach them. They weren't blocking and crowding the hallway. However, the artists were kind of shifted into a different area. They took over the small hallway that you have to kind of loop around in order to get to the cafeteria and into some of the eatery places. It's a tiny hallway and it's really cramped. It was not comfortable at all to walk down that area. But they also stuck them in what last year it was supposed to be a children's area / reading area. They moved the artist alley into that section. So they had a little bit more space to work with, which was kind of nice. Definitely a lot of panels like they had last year. And that was one of the reasons why I went, was because I really wanted to sit in on the panels. They had some cool stuff going on. A lot of different topics, a lot of variety. They didn't have a podcasting panel. I think they had one last year by another group, so I was kind of disappointed to not see that there was another one. But they had some great makeup panels, some special effects stuff, some armor builds, some good tutorials, nice stuff like that. And it's really cool that they pull this content just from our local community. And it's not just, you know, beginner ABC panels. It's actually intermediate and advanced content. So that was really nice. Didn't get a chance to stick around for the cosplay contest, but I did see some of the photos that they posted up, and there were some really nice costumes there. Really good high-level stuff. I mean, the things that were going on at ArlingCon, there was another convention going on that same weekend. That other convention didn't have as many cosplayers attending at all by comparison to ArlingCon. It seemed like everybody was dressed up, even though it was very humid outside, needless to say. I will say, though, that even though they kind of reconfigured a couple of things, space was still not fully utilized. The dealer's area, very wide aisles, which is good in theory, but there weren't a whole lot of people walking around to properly fulfill that space. So instead, it felt like, you know, if they took all of the artists that were in the hallway and down and around the corner, stuck them in the big dealers area, they would have been fine. And I think they probably would have gotten more foot traffic because of it. But since everybody was a little bit more spread out and some people are a little hard to reach, they may not have gotten as much attention as they would have wanted. So that's my one big suggestion for Arlington is consider compressing both the dealers and the artists into one area. That might make it a little bit easier. Plus, that way it'll ease up some of the traffic congestion that happens in the hallways. But other than that, I mean, it's good vendors, good dealers. I mean, it's nice to have such a big one-day library con that feels like it's really tapping into the creativity of the community and just continues to grow. I'm curious to see how they plan to expand because they're going to hit a point where there's too many people coming in because, again, it's a free event that they're going to have to find a way to either expand out or put a cap on it or get a different building. I don't know what the plan would be for that. But overall, it was good time. I had fun for the brief amount of time that I was there. Maybe next time my memory card won't get corrupted. That would be awesome. But other than that, yeah, it was pretty similar to last year. And last year, we really enjoyed ourselves because it was nice, it was casual, it was comfortable, but it was great content on top of that. And that was the one thing that really struck to me because that's something that I miss about with a lot of conventions I go to is the panels. The panels are always the same thing over and over again. So to get different topics has been so refreshing. And I hope that they keep up with that tradition.
Yes, please.
Major, yes, please.
We really enjoyed the panels last year. It was a good, solid variety of panels and solid panelists.
Yeah, definitely. We follow a couple of them now on their Instagram accounts just to kind of keep up with them and see what they're doing. And they always have interesting topics that they're talking about. And I'm like, man, I want to see more of their panels again.
Well, glad that you were able to enjoy your time. We always support local conventions, basically showing off the best of the community. All right, so now our main topic. Dun, dun, dun!
I don't know if it warrants it a dun dun dun, but sure.
I just had this image in my mind of the squirrel that suddenly does the belt
Oh,
shake.
what something squirrel, what do they call
Yeah,
that?
I can't think, it's escaping my mind. I can't think of what that is, but it's the squirrel that does the double take toward the camera. That was what I had in mind when I was like the main topic.
Dramatic squirrel.
That's the one.
It's just dramatic squirrel. Okay, I was like, I know it's something really simple. And it, I had to Google it because I can't remember. I don't remember my memes.
We're old folks.
We are, but I mean,
Kind
that
of.
was like our time when we were teens. That's the thing. We should know this like that.
But anyways, Yayahan is now selling EVA foam at Joann's as part of her cosplay collection.
Yeah, and it's kind of really cool stuff. This is a very Val talky episode. Sorry. I'm sure Amber appreciates it though.
I don't mind either way. I can jabber when you need me to jabber.
Well, so yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Yayahan's new Avafoam line, which was developed in conjunction with Cosplay Fabrics, and it's available at Joann Fabric and Craft. It's currently online and at a couple of locations, but it's going to be shipping throughout the US this month, so most stores will start carrying it. Yay! The foam is flat on both sides, so that's one cool key thing about it. And it's being advertised as a higher density foam. And there's three sizes flat, as well as three different sizes in dowel form. So that's kind of cool too. The thing that I love about it is it's kind of showing that cosplay is being taken seriously as a hobby by retailers because not only is this going on, but Michaels now carries Warbla. They carry Warbla in sample size sheets as well as the crystal art and the deco art. That's really freaking cool. But on the flip side, this announcement has kind of caused a more vibrant reaction compared to Yaya's other cosplay-related merchandise, especially on Twitter, because it seemed like yesterday there was just a flurry of posts, and I immediately freaked out because I thought something bad had happened because I saw her name was trending. And usually when people's names are trending on Twitter, your immediate reaction is, oh no, something bad happened. Someone may have died. Oh no, oh no.
Please
So
don't Betty White.
I please. No, Betty, you cannot leave us ever, ever, ever. But seriously though, because I immediately started looking into it and then I was like, oh. So the majority have been in support of the new product, but there has definitely been negative responses, and I've seen two primary ones. The first is that it's more expensive than buying it online. And then the second is that it's Yahya Han brand. So I thought it might be interesting if we break down those arguments, kind of get a little bit into it, and then expand from there. And I think I should probably point out, like from the get-go, like we'll be talking about our personal opinions, and we are not supported or financed by any of the products or the vendors that we are talking about. We wish we were, but we're not.
We're supported by you, the fans.
By viewers just like you.
I think that may be copyrighted by public,
But not
but we can't
copyrighted by
know.
you. So this is just us giving our opinions. If you go to my Twitter feed, you can already see my opinion. It's out there for everybody to read. And I made my opinions known because the content caught my attention. Duh. And I wanted to highlight how amazing it was that we have access to all these materials at local stores. Because that's the big thing to me is that this whole cosplay line of Joanne is all about allowing the hobby to be more accessible. And I say that on a few levels. First, for us as already seasonal cosplayers, we use a lot of odd materials and weird fabrics and unusual trims, plastic Christmas balls. I'm very guilty of that. And having these materials at a local craft store within our reach is just incredible.
And the
We
not have
don't,
to pay shipping.
yeah, right? I mean, we don't have to struggle to find this content. It's like it's right there in our hands. Like, even 3 years ago, this stuff would not have been at our local craft store. That's amazing. And then on the other level is that it's giving accessibility to those who live in rural areas where online shopping and shipping isn't an option because delivery companies don't deliver to them. So they've never had access to Warbler or craft foam or to these weird fabrics. They don't live near a fashion dish. We don't live near a fashion district where we can get these nice materials like you could in LA or New York City. But now that it's at Joann's, it's at Michael's, it's at blah, 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 these major retailers, they actually have the ability to go to the store, see the content, try it out. And we've got new cosplayers. We're breeding new cosplayers. We've got new makers. If anything, I mean, this may be an opportunity for them to experience cosplay for the first time because they saw it on their store shelves. And that's what makes having cosplay in the retail chains is so important to me about. And I think that's where people are kind of getting lost in this discussion is that accessibility factor is so amazing compared to what we had before. So, long ramble aside. So, let's first go into why it's probably more expensive than buying it online. And I quickly pulled the cost for the foam sheets. They're in 2, 6, and 10 millimeter. They range from $12.99 to $24.99. With most other online vendors, same size sheets, it goes from $6.95 to $16.99 before tax and shipping. So, that's something to kind of keep in mind.
And Joann's accepts coupons, so if you buy it through Joann's, you can always change the price of that.
And they also honor competitors' coupons too. And since it's considered foam, that means all of those foam discounts that are 50, 60% off, that'll apply. Hey. But yeah, it seems like people are probably not aware of how pricing structure works on a commercial side or on a retail side, I should say. Because Joann's is not just paying to have the item in their store and they're paying the licensing from Cosplay Fabrics and from Yahya Han's branding. It's also, it helps cover the people that are paid to put said items in the store, to pay for the display, to pay for the marketing, to pay for the convenience of it being there versus you buying it online, doing the shipping, waiting 1 to 2 weeks. There's definitely a lot of factors that are involved in why the price is the way that it is, but they also price it keeping in mind that people are going to apply coupons. Retailers are very aware of this. They know what they're doing.
At least if the consumer is smart, they will. It's like buying patterns full price versus buying them when they're on sale.
Right. And there are some impulse buys. There are people who will see it and be like, oh my gosh, I need this right now. And they'll get it and not think about coupons. And that's totally fine. But they probably understand that the majority of their customers are coupon savvy because of how Joann's runs their business. They're going to have coupons at the ready, which is why the prices are the way that they are. It accommodates for those coupons.
It's also something to think about that they're advertising it as denser foam, which means there's actually more material in it. I am mildly curious, actually, because if you look at the roll that they sell of the 2 mil from her, or not the roll, the sheet, it's 24 inches by 40, whereas the Darice foam that they used to sell in Joann's, that was also 2 mil, was 36 by 60.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually got more foam for a cheaper price, because theirs was $7.95. So what I'm curious about is, how does the quality compare of the 2 mil sheet from her, even though it's a shorter sheet, if it's a better foam than the standard fun foam that we all love to use, you know, does that justify the price? Because otherwise, it's far cheaper just to get fun foam in quantity.
Right. I would be really curious to see. And they are releasing tutorials on cosplay fabrics, and a couple of different cosplayers are going to be doing tutorials with it. I'm sure the 10 millimeter is probably really great. I have a feeling that's probably some good quality density, but I'd be really curious about that 2 millimeter, because if it has a little bit more oomph to it than standard craft foam, that could be a great substitute.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of stuff is done using 2 mil foam. Even just basic mock-ups are done using 2 mil. You probably wouldn't want to use this for mock-ups, though, because it would get fairly pricey fairly quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, heck, like my Diablo book, all of the embellishments on top of that, that's 2 mil craft foam. I didn't do anything fancy. I just used craft foam and just painted it like crazy. I would be really curious to see if they expand, if it does well. Maybe they expand the foam line to include like textured foam, like scale texture, or like lizard texture, which would be scaly. You know what I mean. Dragon scales, lizard scales, blah.
Right.
But yeah, it's just something to kind of keep in mind with the pricing of it. Because, I mean, you also have to factor in the shipping cost. Because, yeah, you may be only spending $16.99 on that 10 mil. But shipping will range anywhere, depending on the vendor, from like $5.25 to $25. Also, how fast do you need it? Because if you need next day, you'll probably
on Prime.
Yeah, right? Because even then, that's still a two-day wait. You still have to wait. You don't get that instant, I need this right now. So probably really good for last minute. Hey, I got to make this cosplay now.
It's the night before the con and you need to make that costume in 24 hours.
I now have all my Ava foam. Woo! Yeah, because that's a real thing. I'm sure if you were one of those crafters, or if you had a business and you could buy it in bulk, online is probably the better option. Absolutely. But if you need it for a costume right now, you don't want to wait a week on shipping, it's going to even out when you get down to it. I think it's just more down to personal foam preferences and the quality of the foam and making sure that you get the one that you like to use. Okay, so do we want to move on to the next portion?
Sure do.
Okay, so the other argument that's being made against it is that it's Yaya Han branded. Because that's a bad thing for some reason. She's popular. Oh no, we must hate it. Why?
The only downside I see to that with it being branded under her particular model is that her fabrics tend to be somewhat pricey. Now, granted, you can apply coupons to them, but I've never seen them go on clearance more than 25% ever. It's like, you guys don't do 40%? Like, even some of their higher-end wedding fabrics will go on for 30%, 40% on very rare occasion. It would help if we could do the 40, 50% off on occasion instead of 25%. Because, honestly, 25% really isn't that much of a discount.
Yeah, it's definitely probably a barrier that most people are not aware of. But I think that also might be just the community not being fully cognizant of how expensive some fabrics can truly be. Like if you go to LA Fashion District or New York City Fashion District, yes, you can find some things for $1.99 a yard and it's fantastic. It's charmeuse. Woohoo, great. But there are some silk brocades that are still $50 a yard. There are some nice quality fabrics that will cost you a pretty penny. I do think that in terms of Joann's line of content for apparel fabrics, it is on the pricier scale. absolutely no doubt about it. It's also the type of fabric where you need to have a specific project in mind to utilize it. You're not just going to pick this up at random because it looks cool. It's like, oh, I need this for this particular project.
It's also fabric that, unlike some more common fabrics like broadcloth and lace and velvets and things like that, where if you screw up, you know that they always keep that stuff in stock in multiple bolts so that if you mess up or if you need a different dye lot, you're pretty assured of if you go into the store, they will have more.
Mm-hmm.
With Yayas, they only keep one or two bolts of that stuff. So if you end up making a mistake, you're not guaranteed that the store will have any more of that for a while.
And that's really, really rough too, because their online store is not exactly the most accurate. Plus, they may not cut it properly. They only guarantee you 3 yards in one setting. So if you need more than three, it'll probably come in multiple cuts. I know I've been a victim of this twice, which is why I don't shop online with them anymore. And you can't go to Cosplay Fabrics to get it because some of them are Joann's exclusive only. So you could only get them at Joann's. So you're just kind of stuck. This is what's happened to me on multiple times while working on the Borderlands costume. But yeah, you are right, because it is that 25% tag that goes, ooh, ooh. But I also wonder if a part of it is some people might be jealous of her hard work ethic and the fact that she's gotten this far because of cosplay, that she's been able to make a career out of this. And so there are people that are going to be on that hate train of, oh, well, you just represent everything bad about cosplay because you've made it popular. How dare you? Or you made this really, really popular. How dare you?
Or they believe what they've read in the media.
Yeah.
Now, however you feel about her, and everyone is entitled to their opinion. You can, mm-hmm. you can love her, you can hate her. That is totally on you. Have you seen those fabrics? Some of those fabrics are freaking amazing. Whether or not they're branded under hers, some of that four-way stretch fabric and some of the textured fabric that they have now, they have new fabric in there now. If you guys haven't been there recently, they've had some new offerings from her just in fabrics. That doesn't even account for the trims and the embroidery pieces. That
head it's awesome stuff.
Is perfect for Mira.
I was really surprised that this worked so well for my project. It's got a nice stretch to it, but it's got also a nice weight to it. Any Mass Effect fans who want to cosplay as Miranda, get the hexagon fabric from her because this is perfect for your costume. I am not lying. It sews nicely too.
Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for fabric that sews nicely.
Oh my gosh, yes. Especially when it's stretch fabric. Ooh, lordy.
And but now, yeah. They've got all sorts of embroidery and they've got various iron-on pieces now. They've even got ornamental pieces, almost jewelry-like,
mm-hmm.
to accent your cosplay. And those are in stores now. There's a lot of good quality stuff, you guys.
The trims are incredible. I finally found a store that had some of the trims. They are really, really nice. Like, they even have, like, gold and silver pleather trim, bias tape. Like, my dudes, trying to make your own gold pleather bias tape is really freaking difficult. So to have it pre-made for you, sign me up, please.
Are there any kind of bias tape, gold or otherwise? And if you try and get gold bias tape, you get the really shiny, like almost costume satin-esque. That's the only option you have unless you hand paint it.
So yeah, TLDR, don't hate the haters. I mean, just don't hate the person. Don't hate the game.
Yeah, you may need to budget for the purchase. Check on Joann's website. Keep track of when they run sales. Keep track of the coupons that are coming up because they do periodically run 60% off one single item coupons during the year. We actually have one coming up at end of this month. So go find the coupons. Start your budgets now. And start looking ahead, especially around Halloween, because that's generally when these fabrics will have their biggest price cuts.
And if you don't want to buy the fabric, don't buy the fabric. You don't want to buy the foam, don't buy the foam. No one is telling you that you have to buy these items because it's Yaya Han branded. You buy the things that you want to buy. Just keep in mind that this type of accessibility is something we've never had before. We as cosplayers in the US have got it so much easier than ever. Between this and then having multiple wig vendors that are based in the US making high quality wigs, we got all of our Ava foam, our Warbla and thermoplastics, and these cool fabrics. It's so many great things, and it's finally accessible to more and more people, and that is awesome.
There's also cool makeup palettes that they're actually basing on characters now.
Holy crap, yes, indeed. Oh my god, so Mehron just posted one for Resident Evil. It's a zombie package. I was like freaking out because it's actually really good, nice makeup, and you save about $50 if you bought the pieces individually. So it's all packaged together really nicely. I love it. I kind of want to get it because it has extra Resident Evil goodies in it that make me really happy. It's a nice kit.
There are Game of Thrones palettes too. Just even for standard things like eyeshadows. Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff. Like, there's everything you could possibly need to basically become characters. Even if you don't make the cosplay, if you just buy it from Spirit Halloween, there's still all the accessories now that you could possibly want, and the makeup and the wig.
It is so much easier to be a cosplayer now than it has ever been before.
Oh, my lawn!
It's like we were making everything out of, like, cardboard and duct tape, and how much hot glue can we use? All the hot glue in the world, man.
Party City wigs.
Woo! It's a good time to be alive.
I mean, you didn't color your own hair.
Yeah. Our friend of ours said that we would spend so many nights, Kat Chan said that we use Sharpie juice to dye our wigs. It's like, yeah, we did.
Yep. And that was assuming that you even had a wig and didn't have to use the temporary spray and Halloween hair dye on your own hair. And then you had to hope that it washed out so you could go to work the next day.
Yeah, that's always fun. I never went down that route. I just used my natural hair and I rolled with it. I didn't care.
There you go.
But yeah, seriously, like just cosplay your way. Do what you want to do. You buy the things that you want to buy. Just keep in mind that people didn't have these options before even 3 years ago. And it's cool that all these materials are more readily available to more people. So go be a maker. Create cool stuff.
And with that, we will call an end to this episode 191 of CosPod's podcast for all things cosplay. If you would like to join in on the conversation with some awesome new materials that you've discovered for cosplay, or if you just want to reminisce with us about how hard it was back in the day when we made cosplay, feel free to join in the discussion on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
Cardboard and craft foam. They are your lifesavers.
And we do invite you to join our Discord channel. Of course, if you would prefer more private conversation with us, you are welcome to email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will promptly get two answers, one from each of us, because we like you guys that much. Otherwise, we will invite you guys to go check out these wonderful materials at your local Joann Fabric stores. We will wish you guys happy cosplaying, and see you next episode in 192. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.